I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Simon Constable, writing for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications. He is in the south of France. He is observing the climate of the south of France, rumored to be paradise. At the same time, we're watching prices in Europe and prices in America for the long-threatened and now apparently no longer threatened recession, worldwide recession. We begin, however, with the good news of climate. Simon, you are in the agrarian basin, that is the farmers of France, and you've had an unusual climate of heat followed by better days ahead. Has it stopped raining? Are the farmers back in the field? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, the farmers are back in the fields, and I'm looking at a farmer driving a tractor around a field, rolling the earth, getting it ready for the winter wheat crop. I'm presuming that. I haven't actually talked to the farmer, but I would expect that that field that I'm looking at right now, which is two fields away from where I live, will be full of wheat starting in January, and then will grow very quickly. Today, we're having complete sun. It's around 70 degrees Fahrenheit. It's dry. It's nice to see the sun again, and the rain has stopped, and it feels like it was a monsoon for a long time, and I know we've been talking about this. But yes, very nice.
The ECB is downgrading expectations for growth in all of the European Union for 2024, but that's many countries. I want to look at the commodities because here in America, our gasoline prices have been a driver for inflation for some time. How are the prices in Europe now compared to what the expectations were once before?
Well, that's very good here. We've got Brent crude, which is the European benchmark, in many ways the world benchmark. It's now $82 a barrel, down from 87 on November the 2nd. So that's quite a lot in a very short time. Diesel's now on average 185 a liter. And people who've listened to us talk over the weeks and over the past year will know that at times it's got near $2 per liter. So it's considerably lower, and that's good. And it will probably continue to fall as this works through the system, with Brent being down at 82. So it's very good. And wheat prices remain under $6. They're now $5.77. That's $5.77 per bushel. And that's since mid-September. It's been below that level, which is an indication that it's right down there near the break-even price, i.e. the price when it goes below that, farmers cannot make any money, so they stop growing it. So that's a good sign for everyone else that this is a fairly low price and we should be happy with that.
We have good news in the United States, Simon, and the reason is because our prices are moderating, and so is the expectation of inflation going forward. That's what the Federal Reserve has been watching. Of course, the market's very excited, but then again, it's been a long time since the market had confidence the Federal Reserve was moving in the right direction. We're talking soft landing again, which means not too hot, not too cold, just right. Are you hearing similar expectations back home in the United Kingdom where you used to live? Or what are the prospects for 2024 for merry old England, Simon?
I wish I could say the same. I wish it would be a soft landing in the UK. It looks like it's going to be a cool landing, but not a hard landing. They're talking about, for at least a year from now, of having zero growth in the UK. So that's not the economy shrinking, but that's also not the economy growing. And that could be a bit of a problem for a lot of businesses in the UK. Who knows what will actually happen? But that's the prediction we're hearing from people in the know. And it's really not good. And it could go on for 2 years. And that's something what the Bank of England's thinking. I think that's highly pessimistic, but who knows? They may be right. And maybe that's what's needed in the UK. It's very sad if it does happen that way, though.
Simon, there's been a lot of politics back in merry old England having to do with marches and the war in Gaza. At the same time, the government is deeply troubled. The Tory government, in power now for 13 years, deeply troubled by the economy and by a shakeup in the cabinet, yet another shakeup in the cabinet. What is your measure of the politics of this protest movement in London? Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary, as you know, was sacked. That's an English word for fired. Sacked because of her outspoken opinion that the march last Saturday was a hate march. and she was turned out of government. And there is now a new Home Secretary, Mr. Cleverly, who was Foreign Secretary. And Mr. Sunak, the Prime Minister, has brought back Mr. Cameron, the previous Prime Minister. All shuffling chairs are in the cabinet room. What is your measure now of how the Gaza war and the marches in London, where there's a lot of very unhappy language, unacceptable language on the streets, is this a blow to the whole of the island, including Scotland? How do you see it, Simon?
It's very interesting. There's a multi-layers of what's going on here. First of all, cabinet shuffles are very common in British government, and it goes back, certainly when I first started looking at politics in the UK, to Margaret Thatcher. Quickly shuffle the cabinet and change things, and that keeps your enemies away from you. That can work. With this one, this is very interesting what Rishi Sunak's done here by firing Braverman. Braverman's pointing out in many ways that the marches in London had a significant portion, I don't know whether it's a majority or not, a significant portion of people who were basically hate-fueled against the Jewish state, Israel, and against Jews in general. And I think that her saying, look, this isn't appropriate, was not a terrible thing in the minds of a significant portion of the UK. British people tend to be warm and open and welcoming to most people, contrary to what some people might think. That is the way I've always found it and I've always seen it. So the idea of anyone hating Jewish people or hating Israel just seems to me, to be ridiculous. The other thing was the timing of that march was on Remembrance Saturday, just before the Remembrance Sunday thing, when we basically celebrate and remember the lost dead of our armed services who fought in wars to protect our freedom. And it seemed like did the march against Israel have to happen on that day? No, it didn't. It could have happened many other days, but it was done then for a reason to attract attention and sort of fuel division. It seemed that way to me. So yes, Braverman has been dealing with that. She's also been dealing with people coming into the UK illegally on small boats across the Channel Tunnel. And it's a tidal wave. You've got to remember that Britain is a very small island. It's really, really quite tiny. And a lot of people live there, and something like 20,000 people have come in or tried to come into the country illegally on these small boats. And the government really doesn't know quite what to do. It's had some ideas. One of the ideas was to send folks to Rwanda, where they could be dealt with for, asylum claims. But that's now been struck down by the UK's Supreme Court for seemingly a technical reason. It's a good technical reason, as they don't think the asylum process in Rwanda is particularly good. But still, it leaves the government in a bit of a problem when you've got a lot of people in the southeast of England thinking, look, this has got to stop. We've got to have a process that works, and we should be able to choose who is coming into the UK and not just have people arrive in lots of boats who are trafficked there by gangsters, basically, who are just doing this for the money. So there's a lot going on here. And she stood up for her views, which seems to align with, again, a significant portion of the population. And again, that is pretty unpopular. I think what's happening here is that Rishi Sunak knows he's got to fight an election, a general election next year. And he's thinking, well, Keir Starmer, the head of the Labour Party, which is the opposition, that's the left-leaning Labour Party, is doing well in the polls. And I think we'll all agree, Keir Starmer is doing well in the polls. I think Rishi Sunak wants to get more and more and more close politically to Keir Starmer so that he can have a chance of winning. I don't think it's going to work for Rishi Sunak. I think he's still going to fail, and he's going to really upset a lot of people who are born and bred conservatives, deep down, true blue to their core.
Simon Constable in the south of France, reflecting upon the mixed up politics of the UK, which describes Europe, which describes North America right now, recovering from the pandemic, dealing with migration, and then two wars in Eurasia, with a third threatened. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.